One of the most important elements of any relationship is understanding the person that you're going to have a relationship with. And you know, that applies to God too. You have to understand the basic nature and character of God in order to have a healthy relationship with Him. And misunderstanding about the nature and the character of God is one of the reasons that many people don't have a positive relationship with the Lord. This is exactly what happened in the Bible in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent and entered into temptation and ultimately disobeyed God and plunged the whole human race into sin. This is actually a part of the temptation. In Genesis chapter 3, the story is familiar to most people, but the serpent came to Eve and tempted her by saying, "Has God really said that you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" And in verse 2, it says that the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die." And notice this right here in verse 5. It says, "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, subtly in this verse, there is the statement that God is not really a good God, that God was trying to withhold something from Adam and Eve, that He didn't want them to reach their full potential, that He didn't want them to be like God. And that's the reason that God had put down these rules, these laws about not eating of the tree. It was to hinder them, to hurt them. That was stated in here. Satan, in a sense, came against the very nature and the character of God and maligned God and said that God did not want the best for them. And you know, the same thing is true today. This is exactly what's happening to people today. Satan is telling people that if you just follow God, if you don't ever experiment with all of these things, if you don't go into all of these things that are contrary to what God's Word is taught, you'll never experience true happiness. It'll be boring. It's dead. It's lifeless. And of course, the sad fact is that people experience after the fact that all of the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, the rebellion, the indulgence of self, the success of jobs, and all of these other things did not satisfy them. But by the time they learn that, they've already destroyed their life, they've destroyed their families, they've destroyed their health. The truth is that God is a good God, and God's will for us is only good. Satan uses the same temptations on us today that came against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's basically saying that God is not a good God. And you know, some people, if they just have a casual understanding of the Bible, they could get that impression from the Bible, because there are examples in the Word of God to where God literally treated people in harsh, cruel ways. In the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, we find an example where a man picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, and he was stoned to death for picking up sticks. I mean, that sounds harsh. That sounds cruel. But there was a purpose that God gave these punishments. It's not obvious to most people on just a casual observance of the Scripture, but as you get into it, the Old Testament law was given actually to make sin, the sin that we had committed, become exceedingly sinful, is what the Scripture says. The purpose of this was that people didn't realize how deadly their transgression was. They didn't realize what they had done and how it was an offense against God. And they made this mistake of comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by the way other people were doing it. And because somebody committed a sin and wasn't struck dead for doing it, they thought that, well, sin must not be so bad. And so they lowered their standards, and they had lost a true perspective on what right and wrong was. God had to bring mankind back to a plumb line, a proper standard of what right living was, so that they could reject the devil, they could reject his temptations, and recognize what the end result of these wrong choices would be. And when he did that, he had to enforce these laws that he gave. So God gave the laws, the Old Testament commandments, not really for the purpose of saying that until you do all of these things, I cannot accept you or I cannot love you. That's not the nature and the character of God. But rather, he did it to make our sense of right and wrong become accurate, to bring us back to a sense that we needed a Savior. And the problem has been that people thought that God was demanding this perfection of us before He could love us. And this has led to an attitude that has made many people feel like that God loved them directly proportional to their performance. And until they try and do everything exactly right, they will never be accepted by God. That is not the message of the Bible. Just to illustrate this, there's so many examples in the Word of God. But in the 8th chapter of the book of John, let me just use this to illustrate what I'm talking about. There's an example here where a woman was taken in the very act of adultery, and she was brought to Jesus for judgment. And truthfully, the people who brought her to Jesus weren't trying to get a proper judgment from Him, but rather they were using this to entrap Him. It says this in John chapter 8, and in verse 3, it says, "The scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they had continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." They were trying to get Him to execute the Old Testament commandment of a person taken in the act of adultery to stone him, and to prove that they weren't sincere in trying to get judgment, proper action for this woman. They were just trying to entrap Him. It says that she was taken in the very act of adultery. That means that the man was also present. And yet they didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. They brought the woman because they knew Jesus had been preaching that God loved us. And even if you had sinned, and even if you had fallen short, God still loved you, and God wanted to extend mercy to you. So they knew that by bringing this woman, this would solicit sympathy and mercy and pity from the Lord. And if He didn't execute the judgment prescribed in the law, then they could kill Him. And if He did execute the judgment, and if He stoned her, then all of the followers of Jesus would have to leave Him because His message of mercy and grace and forgiveness would be compromised. They thought this was a no-win situation, but Jesus just acted like He ignored them, reached down, wrote on the ground, and then they asked Him again, and He raised Himself up, and He said this. He says, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her," in verse 7. And then the people begin to be convicted by their own conscience. The Scripture doesn't show us exactly what He wrote, but I believe that basically He was making some type of statements. Maybe He was possibly writing down some of their secret sins, using His supernatural ability to see into people's hearts and know what they were thinking. Whatever, they were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit that they weren't without sin themselves. And finally they left, and He said this to the woman in verse 10. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus didn't condone her sin. Matter of fact, He told her to go and sin no more. But He extended mercy to her. Now contrast this with the Old Testament that says that the woman should have been killed and shown no mercy. Now, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. This is the same God that gave the commandment to stone a person to death and to show them no mercy, that turned around and showed mercy to a person that was taken in the very act of adultery. That looks contradictory. It looks like that there are two different gods. Will the God of the Old Testament or the God of the New Testament be the one that we serve? The truth is that the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has never changed. His love for mankind has never changed. God has always sought to reconcile mankind unto Himself. And the Old Testament law and the harshness and the punishment was not a true representation of God. It was true in the sense that that's what was justice, but it didn't reveal the mercy in the heart of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus was the express image of the Father. That means an exact representation, a perfect display, a perfect manifestation of God's heart. And Jesus showed us the real heart of God. God's heart is to reconcile mankind unto Himself, not to judge them, not to impute their sins, not to hold their sins against them. That's the heart of God for the people in the Bible, and that's also the heart of God for us today. We need to understand the real heart of God that, like it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. And God seeks to take your sins and anything that would separate you from Him away. He's already done it through the Lord Jesus, and He's offering you relationship today, not based on your performance, but rather based on your faith and your acceptance of Jesus bearing your sins. And you can have relationship with God today regardless of the failures in your life. All God is asking is that you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you as you consider that today.